Will you give me a hint as to what we're talking about today?
Oh yeah, when it's time.
The time is when you start the show. I was hoping just to get some thoughts together. Can you give
It's
me a little hint?
so much more fun the way. It really, really is.
Am more intelligent than sometimes I sound on this show because I have time to process and think about what I wanted to say.
Actually, babe, your responses and reactions are fantastic.
Okay.
You're the star of the show.
Aw.
And you, my dear, are ahead of the game.
Nice, thanks.
You're welcome. It's been 5 weeks since your last actual working day at the office.
Yep.
And?
I have a job. I'd start
Are
tomorrow.
you kidding me?
I do.
So much for hanging out with your hubby and playing pickleball.
Well, luckily it's part-time and I get to still play pickleball with you.
Okay, we'll announce it on the next episode.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable announcing it at the next episode.
Okay.
It
I hear it's pickleball related.
is.
Well, I cannot wait to hear more.
Right?
I bet all three of our listeners are on pins and needles.
Probably they already know. It's the same three that I'm thinking of.
It's you know what is cool? This last week, somebody came up and said, I'm one of your three listeners. I was like, yes, that's absolutely awesome. Oh, we have new listeners in Minnesota. Friend of mine, Tom Selby-Bidelec, and his lovely wife are, well, they just won
A
a
silver
silver
medal?
medal. Yeah, I think it's
Yeah.
silver medal in a tournament in Minnesota,
Congratulations.
northern Minnesota. I'm super excited for them. We are going to go see them at the end of the month.
I am very
And we're
excited.
going to see how well that silver medal stacks up against what we got.
Oh, okay.
Look, I'm just saying, who knows? His wife, Meredith, is hooked. She's got the addiction that we talked about in the
Love
last,
it.
or whatever the previous, whatever episode. So I taught Tom how to play. I bet it's been 5 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, five or
So
six
pretty
even.
early on when you started.
Yeah, I started 6.5 years ago. I probably taught him at least 5 years ago, if not longer. A couple of guys I taught in Minnesota. One of them is doing really well. He's given up his golf and tennis career and he's like focused on pickleball all the time.
Of course.
His name is Tuong, Vin Tu Tuong. He's a great
Didn't
kid.
he come here for a wedding and he went and played with you?
He,
At,
yes. We have played together several times.
yeah.
We played at CSW where I used to
Yeah.
work. Yeah, that's correct.
I remember that.
He's a great dude. Yeah, I love the Minnesota peeps, man. I love them. I can't wait to go back up there. So we're also gonna see Josh Furbish and his lovely wife Mindy, and we're gonna teach them how to play because they haven't played before.
Okay.
But they've got the equipment. They're like, we can't wait. We got the equipment.
Oh.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe they'll go out before we get up there. But I told them we'd teach them how to play.
I would love that.
Can't wait to do it. Do you know what today's topic is?
No, because you won't tell me.
That's right. We already talked about that a bit ago, didn't we? Well, I thought we would do misunderstood rules in pickleball.
Ooh.
Yeah, because there are a few.
I'm sure I've spread some of those misinformation.
You know, we've talked about one or two on a previous podcast. You asked about when a ball, like because of the wind or the spin, bounced back over the net to the
Yes.
same side that it
You
hit
said
it.
you use all the
I
intelligence
did. It came out wrong. I meant everything you know about pickleball. I wasn't really t But you know what? Use it all. Let's see what you got. I sometimes
hilarious.
listen later and I go, well, I should probably cut that out, but honestly, I deserve to look stupid for that one, so I'll just look stupid for it.
People are surprised that we've been married 31 years sometimes.
almost
Almost.
32. Almost surprised or almost 31. It's almost 32, babe. We're going to go on a cruise in November to celebrate our next anniversary.
I thought we were going on a cruise so you could write.
We are. You'll be in one part of the ship and I'll be on another. It'll be awesome.
We're gonna be alone on the ship.
Yes. Some cute guy's bringing you drinks with a little
It's not gonna
umbrella. I'm
happen.
going to be like, dude.
I just look at him like it's a ship. We can find all kinds of places to be
Well,
alone.
that's correct. Okay, so under misunderstood rules, there's a plethora of them. But if you spend time in the Facebook groups, which you're going to have to start doing, little miss, I'm going to have a pickleball job. You're going to see every day somebody says, what happens when a ball spins back over the net? Every day you're going to see, you know, what happens when this and what happens when that? Or what happens if the ball doesn't bounce and, you know, I'm in the kitchen? Or what if it happens if the ball bounces and I'm already in the kitchen? Do I have to get out of the kitchen, back in the kitchen? Like, it's just like, oh my gosh.
Well, that is That kitchen space is a bit mysterious. And when you first start, I hear it all the time with our new
I know.
people. They just are terrified to step in it like it's lava. And
I know.
it's because, people have told them to stay out of the kitchen and
Yeah.
not really given them the whole picture.
Actually, stay out of the kitchen were some of the first words we learned in pickleball. Stay out of the kitchen.
It,
Remember the
well,
old little lady?
exactly. And we were like, what's a kitchen?
Well, but when we talked in a previous episode about where we are to be position wise, and we talked through if you're on the right and the ball's over here, you're on the right. If the ball's on the left, you're over here. And I summed it up with three simple words: follow the ball.
Yes.
You hit it diagonally, you follow it diagonally.
Yep.
I'm going to sum up the kitchen or the non-volley zone in several simple words.
Okay.
Did the ball bounce? If the ball bounced, there is no line.
Right.
That's it. You can't have a volley if the ball has bounced. A volley, by definition, is a shot that has not bounced. Since it's the non-volley zone, meaning the area in which you cannot volley, if the ball has bounced, you can't volley whether it's a zone or not, because you can't volley a ball that's bounced.
Right.
So it's so simple to start there and recognize that if the ball has bounced, there is no line. Second thing I would say, again, trying to sum it up, in that area, when you do hit a volley shot, it is sacred ground. The
Yes.
kitchen, right? Your position on the court when you hit the ball needs to be established outside of the kitchen area. So if you went into it with one or both feet have to be established or have touched the ground outside of the kitchen area. Okay, now you can hit a volley shot. If you hit a volley shot and you hit it properly with your feet outside the kitchen, your momentum also cannot take you into the kitchen. And the momentum, I think, is the only rule in pickleball that has no time limit to it. So reiterating, there's only a kitchen or a non-volley zone when the ball is not bounced.
Right. So the first thing, when in regards to the kitchen, is it did it bounce?
Right.
If it didn't bounce, your feet aren't supposed to be in there.
When you contact the ball.
Exactly.
And there's a little bit of disagreement in a couple of the rules. Is it when your swing starts or when you contact the ball? I think they'll clarify that going into 2025 based on some of the stuff I've been reading.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And so the second rule is if you hit a volley, then just be careful, right? Be
Right.
careful that you're already outside of it and be careful that your momentum doesn't take you in.
So to recap, a volley is when you hit it out of the air and it did not bounce. The kitchen is a no volley zone.
That's
And
the real
then
name for it.
what you just said was that if you do make contact with it, your feet are outside of the kitchen.
And outside could include outside, but inside of your court area, like back in the service area, or outside, meaning off to the sides, outside of the court to the right or the
Right.
left, which is where we hit our what?
ATPs.
And our.
Ernie's.
And our.
Burt's.
That's right. Very good. Way to use all that brain you got there, baby.
Woohoo.
That's awesome. I meant pickleball brain, everybody. All right, now here's where some confusion comes in.
Okay.
Outside the two things I said, there's really no issue with the kitchen other than the serve. But we'll get to that in a second. So outside of those two issues, the kitchen doesn't matter.
The kitchen doesn't matter.
Well, can I be in the kitchen? Yeah, anytime you want. Take a freaking nap in there. It doesn't matter.
That would
But
be
if you're going to
actually really
hit a
bad. Don't do that.
volley, your 2 feet both have to be back established outside of the kitchen area. That's it. So we're back to rule number two. Rule number one, if it bounces, it doesn't matter. Rule number two, you got it. Okay. Let's talk about momentum because I said something funky, which is it has sort of like no time limit. It's unlimited. If, in the estimation of your opponent, because they are allowed to call kitchen violations,
Right.
or the referee, if there's a referee in the game, if, in their opinions, your momentum is what takes you into the kitchen, they can call a kitchen violation. Now, let's define momentum. I'm not going to try and do this as a referee. I want to just do this as a normal everyday rec player.
Okay.
Your momentum is a part of your process of hitting the ball. So if you hit a volley shot and your momentum is carrying you forward, until you stop that forward momentum and are capable or do make a move in another direction, so to speak, meaning you've regained control of your body, the momentum is no longer controlling you, you're in momentum. So if you smack it and you're on the run and you're trying to stop and you get right to the kitchen line and you're like on your tippy toes and your arms are swinging and you're leaning over and you're doing everything you can to keep your balance and keep from falling in there, You can do that for 37 hours. It doesn't matter. If you fall in, it's momentum.
Okay.
I know you know that, but that is a very misunderstood rule. James and I were playing in a tournament on, was it Friday night? Friday night.
Yes.
And, oh my gosh. I mean, they didn't even know there was a kitchen line. The under 40 group, there was kids, it's just a tennis club from the high school that was playing pickleball. And
right.
They felt like, I guess they must have felt like they had to start behind the line, but they were all landing like a foot from the net, and it was just funny as heck. So they didn't have a clue. But, you know, brand new courts, high school trying to drum up some support, small little local tournament just for fun, blah, blah, blah. But that's a way misunderstood rule.
Yep.
So there's not much to it. It's really those couple things that I said. There is no, it's like the Matrix. There is no spoon. There is no kitchen line outside of if you hit a volley shot. And when you do, two main rules. You need to be outside of the kitchen when you hit it, and you need to stay outside the kitchen from your momentum from hitting it. That's it.
You made that sound very easy to remember.
Let's hope everyone spreads the word.
Yeah, or they can just tell them about this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Here's another one. So this happened during the tournament. I am a right-handed player. Boom. I had to switch to my left hand to reach a ball. Whacked it back left-handed. And the guy goes, did you just hit that left-handed?
Yes, we heard that from the sidelines.
I said, yeah. I said, but it was a bad shot. Bad shot. I hit it just a little bit long. And he's like, you can do that? Guess what? You can. You can do that in pickleball. And I'm going to extend that to talking to two-handed shots as well. You're allowed to have both hands on the paddle.
Right.
You're allowed to have both hands anywhere you want on the paddle.
Hmm.
Here's where it gets funky, because you could have a lot of fun with this. Yeah. You can hold it like that, like a steering wheel, and punch with it if you wanted to. I mean, you could. The ball can hit anywhere from your wrist to your fingertips if you're touching the paddle with that hand, and it's still in play.
That's good, because I hit my hand off.
Yeah, I saw the bruises this morning. This is where I get the most bruises right here. I mean,
that's where my
almost perpetually tender.
Yep.
Yeah. And then this is the second most common place I get hit right here. I'm what's showing my wife on my hands where I get hit.
I was going to say, nobody can hear that. It's his hand.
No, that's okay. Yeah. So you're allowed to switch hands. You're allowed to have both hands on the paddle. Here's what's really crazy. You could effectively hold the paddle with your hand in such a way that you have your fingers up and you just hit the ball with your fingers on purpose.
Mm.
That would be allowed.
Wow. That would be weird.
It would be weird. And it's hard to actually try and do.
Yeah.
The paddle's not designed to be held very well that way. But so you're allowed to switch hands. You can hit with your left hand or your right hand or both during the rallies. And you can hit two-handed shots as well if you want to, which I do recommend the two-handed backhand. And you've been working on it.
I love the two-handed backhand.
Overnight, you fell in love with it.
I did.
Why?
More control.
That's it.
I can hit harder, and often my backhand is not as powerful as my regular swing. So, yeah, and I like to use it when I'm at the kitchen line for cross court dinking.
We'll come back to that later, but quickly, do you know why there's more control?
I have two hands on the paddle.
Well, sort of. That's more of the cause than the effect. Wait, the effect than the cause. More the effect than the cause.
You're gonna do a lot of editing.
I am gonna just leave it in there. Actually, major muscle groups have more control than minor muscle groups.
Exactly.
So I would want to use my quads and my shoulders and my back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the two-handed backhand has more control, because you're really bending down and you're using your quads and you're rotating at your waist and you're using your shoulder and your back muscles to control the ball, which are your monster muscles in your body.
Makes complete sense.
It actually totally does. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next one. Double hits.
Yes. This one weirds me out every time. I did one yesterday and I was like, double hit. And they're like, keep going.
Yeah. It's weird. And triple hits and quadruple hits, because they kind of happen where the ball goes tink, tink, tink off your paddle.
Yep.
If it's unintentional, your swing is continuous, single direction swing or stroke, you're okay. What you can't do for a double hit is like tap the ball up and then whack it down.
Like a set and a spike.
Yeah, exactly. No doing that. So double hits are allowed. And I think they probably will continue to be allowed. I don't see that rule changing. I'm pretty sure every year someone says something about it, but it's just too hard to know.
You would have to self-police. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And most people, you know, would, but there are those few that won't.
Yeah. What if you swing and miss?
Happens to me, unfortunately. It's still, I mean, it's still, a, you still play it. I mean, like if
Meaning,
I'm,
until it's bounced a second time, it's still
right.
alive.
Yep.
Yeah, a swing and a miss is not a dead ball. It doesn't create a
No.
dead ball. That's right.
I had a partner who had my back, got the missed ball. I was so thankful.
Was it me?
No,
Oh,
it
darn
was
it.
a female partner I had. Unfortunately, because she went after helping me, we had a wide open court on that space and they hit there. So we lost the volley, but it was really, really good coverage from her. I was proud of her.
Yeah. Here's one that's controversial in my mind. Do you know what the rule is if there's a cracked pickleball during the rally?
I don't.
What do you think it is? The rally ends, everyone notices, or whoever's serving notices that the ball is cracked, like not a little like little start of a crack, but from one hole to another. Okay.
My guess is you would play it over.
Okay, that's a good guess. The rule is you only play it over if all four players agree that it affected the outcome of the rally. Well, guess who never agrees to that?
The one that won the
The team
point
that
or
just won
the
the
inside
rally.
out.
Yeah,
Yep.
exactly. So I have rarely ever seen it replayed. And I think that's a little controversial, honestly. I don't I'm sure I've been stung by it, and I'm sure I've stung people by it, but I don't care either way. But I think it's controversial because I do believe a cracked ball bounces differently.
Completely.
And I think it's an extreme judgment call to say it did or did not impact the outcome. I don't think we know. I don't think,
Well, I mean,
you could see a ball bouncing weird, like bouncing crooked or not bouncing. But I mean, just in regular play, I think it's pretty hard for us to know.
I would say that once you know that the ball is cracked, you should stop playing with it.
Sure.
But you can't change the wind. And if the wind caused a ball to go out or do something strange and messed up your game, you can't constantly say, okay, do over, do over, do over. And I kind of feel like a cracked ball is one of those things that's just part of the game. If you're in the middle of the game and then you score, whether you win or lose that point or that side out, that's just part of the game, just like the wind is if you're playing outside. So I can see the point of why you wouldn't, why people would say, no, we're not playing that over. But the nice girl in me would say, oh yeah, go ahead. It's no big deal because I don't always care if I win or lose. I really just enjoy playing the game. And I want everyone else to have fun too. So I see both sides, but again, when you're outside, you're playing in the wind, it adds a whole new element. Now, if somebody cracked the ball on purpose and played with it, I mean, that's just something different altogether. But at the same time, it's just part of the game.
I would actually like to see it replayed every time. So we have a little difference of opinion there.
Yeah.
I think we might have our first pickleball here.
Yeah, maybe.
I definitely believe it should be replayed, and you seem to sound like it's okay. It is what it is.
I mean, like sometimes you just don't have a choice. I mean, like if you have an inferior ball and you have someone that likes to smash it, I mean, like you're going to end up with all that whole container full of broken balls
Let me
because.
just list off the inferior balls for you all real quickly. The Vulcans version one,
Holy,
inferior.
is it?
The Chuck, I'm not a fan.
I don't even know that
The
one.
original OSO, not so much, but the Fury's pretty good.
Did I ever play with any of those?
Probably not too many of them. The Franklin on a warm day, marshmallow.
Yes, don't make me
Gross.
start laughing.
The Dura, my favorite. You all know that. Selkirk Pro S1, pretty good ball. I hear the Vulcan 2 is actually a good ball, so okay, I'll
Kudos.
until I hit it, jury's out. The green Dura is not as good as the yellow Dura, but it's good.
Somebody needs to bring back the pink ball. There's a lot of us that like the
I
pink
have a
balls.
bag full of them.
I love them.
We'll take them and play with them. I don't like them.
Okay.
I've got lava color, amber color, and pink color.
I like all of them.
Well, they're all pretty easy to see outside.
They are. That's why it's great to use
It
them
just feels
outside.
weird to whack a pink ball. I don't know what's going on. It just feels weird because you hit yellow all the time or green all the time, and
I see.
it's like
You're used to seeing one color over another.
I am just like, and this is an interesting thing, and we are now no longer talking about weird pickleball rules.
Yeah, we got off on a
That's
tangent.
fine. There is a paddle that's really quiet, and it drives me insane because I think a lot of the game to me is auditory and visual, and it's watching that paddle and hearing the sound and having an estimation because of the sound, which gets to me faster than the ball does, as to how quickly the ball's moving. And when he hits it and swings it hard, it's really soft sounding. I'm like, oh, that ball's not, there it goes. So
it's a secret weapon.
I hate it.
Okay.
I absolutely hate it.
Do you know what it was?
Evil.
No, I mean what the brand is.
Evil. I'm going with evil.
Stop it.
I don't know. It's tricky.
Oh, dearie.
It's tricky.
How to lose potential sponsors. 101. Here you go.
I am promoting their paddle, if you think about it.
That's true.
I'm basically saying it gives someone an advantage.
That's true.
So if they want to sponsor us, that evil company. Let's go back to the non-volley zone, but talk about a different component to it.
Okay.
Because this happens all over the whole court, but it's really only effectively meaningful when it happens in the non-volley zone, which we'll just call kitchen from now on. Okay. What happens if you drop your paddle? Can you pick it back up and keep playing with it?
Why would you not be able to?
Good question. What if it's on a volley and you drop it?
So you hit the ball and drop it.
Uh-huh. Or it knocks it out of your hand.
If I would still say, why wouldn't you keep going?
What if you hit it on a volley shot and it drops into the kitchen?
Well, you can't go in the kitchen.
You can go in the kitchen as long as your momentum doesn't take you in there.
That's true. I have never seen that happen.
Oh, absolutely happens.
I've seen people break their paddles.
What if you lean over to get a volley shot that's really low and your hat falls off in the kitchen?
Ooh.
Or your earring drops out.
Okay.
All of those are faults.
They are. Wow.
All of the ones in the kitchen. So if you hit a volley shot and as a part of your shot, your hat falls off, your whatever your earrings fall out, your glasses fall off, your paddle falls off, any of those things land in the kitchen, that's considered part of your volley and your momentum, and it's a fault.
So if your paddle falls or drops or you throw it accidentally,
yeah,
your hat falls off,
whatever,
earring falls off.
Anything that's a part of your body when you're hitting the ball.
Anything that's part of your body falls off.
On a volley shot and lands in the kitchen.
And lands in the kitchen, that's a fault.
Yeah.
Wow. That is something I bet a bunch of people don't know.
I think the same thing. But if it lands anywhere else on the court or outside the court, play on, people.
Okay.
Meaningless. What if your paddle flies out of your hand so far, like you just miss a shot and it just like a frisbee?
I have seen that.
Can you grab another paddle from the sideline or can your partner throw you their paddle to play?
I don't know.
Well, listeners, we're actually going to find out the answer to that question on the next episode. We turned this long one into two parts to make it easier for you to listen. So thank you so much for liking, subscribing, being a part of our pickleball family. Tell your friends that we're ahead of the game, and so are you.